Today, I want to talk to you about something that every Christian can be excellent at, and that's loving as our Lord loved. So we're going to start today, stand up together, and we're going to honor the Lord as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is often called the love chapter of the Bible. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, and this is agape love. This is the love that God has. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it shall pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put those ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Father, as we study from your word about the love of God, Father, help us to know that that's a possibility for every single one of us that have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Help us to dwell in the Holy Spirit that he might fill us with your love. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34. Have we got it, Joel? There we go. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. A popular song when I was a teenager, and that's been a couple years ago, so some of you, I'm sure, won't remember this song, but it was, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Even non-Christians feel a need to be loved. The old song said, Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to see, enough to climb till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. The question is, what kind of love does the world need? Because there was another song at the same time I was a young man, and it said, if you can't be the one you love, love the one you're with. And that was a little different idea, a little different take on the kind of love we're talking about today. We're talking about the love of Christ, not physical love, sexual love, but a love that goes way beyond any love that mankind can show. The scripture tells us what God commands us to do. He will equip us to do if we'll just let him do what he longs to do. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, and that's what that last song was just about. Not just when things are great, but when things aren't. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love, agape love, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The very love that God has for mankind, He's made available to every single Christian. All we have to do is choose to walk in it. Satan's going to tell you, no, you can't love like Jesus Christ loved. But you can, because God will equip you for that. God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. And if you're one of His children, you are called to love the same way Jesus loved us. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you'll shine among them like stars in the sky." Folks, we live in a very unloving world today. We have different ideas of what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's not true. And instead of trying to get along and learn how to accept each other, we go to war. We're fighting everywhere across our nation or our world today, and we're involved in some of those fights. Our Lord Jesus loved in the good times and the bad times. He loved good people and He loved evil people. I praise the Lord that He loved evil people, because He loved me, and He still does. And sometimes I don't do the right thing, but He chooses to love me in spite of myself. Folks, we have to learn how to do that. When people upset us, when people hit us the wrong way, how do we keep showing the love of Christ? Because it's a constant battle. It isn't something like you receive Christ one time and you're in forever. This is a battle that goes on all the way through our life. How are we going to show others the love of Christ, loving them as Christ did? In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you'll realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Jesus Christ will show you, by His example, how to choose to love others as He loved you. When the Holy Spirit comes into a new Christian's life, and the Holy Spirit comes in the very second you receive Christ as your Savior, He comes in to live within you, and He has many ministries. I'm going to talk real briefly about a couple, and then I want to hit the one most important for today, the ministry of allowing you and I to love the same way Christ loved. So just a real quick overview, the Holy Spirit seals every believer in Christ. We don't have to wring our hands wondering if we're going to have eternal life when judgment day comes. You're sealed in the Spirit. In Ephesians 1, verse 13, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." When you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit seals you. You don't have to worry about trying to keep it by doing all the right things. because you're not going to do all the right things. Neither am I. We're sealed in Christ. Number two, the Holy Spirit teaches you through God's Word. You don't have to be the brightest bulb in the pack to figure out the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will tutor you. In John 14, verse 25, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Folks, it's so important for you to understand, when you read the Word of God, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind. That's what He longs to do. The Holy Spirit also fills us with Himself, but that's one you have to ask for. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the filling of the Spirit doesn't mean you get more of the Spirit. You get all the Spirit the very second you get saved, because He comes into you. Being filled with the Spirit means that He's in control of your life. He's Lord, you're not. And the more you give into that, the more you say, "Lord, not my way, but your way," that's more of the filling. And He'll take charge and He'll lead your life the way you ought to go. Fourth, the Holy Spirit fills us with His very character. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." How hard does a branch have to work to produce fruit? It doesn't have to do anything. All it has to do is stay connected to the vine. The vine brings up the nutrients out of the soil, the vine feeds the branch, and all at once, fruit starts to form. The branch didn't work at it. It's because it's connected to the vine. And when you stay connected to Jesus Christ, it's going to be a natural thing for you to love people. It's going to be a natural thing for you to have a gentle spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit working within you. Fifth, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts for service to our Lord. Everybody in this room that has received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a spiritual gift or gifts that the Lord wants you to use to serve the body of Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The one there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." And so the Holy Spirit does that for us. Sixth, the Holy Spirit prays for us. When I pray, a lot of times I don't know if I'm in exact accord with the Father's will. Jesus said, if you pray anything according to the Father's will, He hears you. And if you know He hears you, you have what you desire. But sometimes I pray for things and I'm not sure it's the Father's will. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He's praying for you and I, and He always prays according to the Father's will. And then what the Spirit prays is actually going to get answered. Folks, I'm glad sometimes I don't get the answer that I desire. because it's not good. I prayed for the wrong purpose. I prayed something that's contrary to God's will. And so the Holy Spirit helps us in that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And all six of those ministries are wonderful, and there's more, lots more. But I want to talk to you about the one that's most important for us today, and that's learning how to love the way the Lord loved. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And so the Holy Spirit pours out his love into our hearts. All we have to do is stay connected. Let the Spirit guide you as you go through your daily life. And when people say something that offends you, consider yourself dead. Our problem is, and my problem is many times, I consider myself ever so much alive. But the Bible says we died in Christ. We died to ourselves so that we can live for Christ. In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me ask you, those of you that know me pretty well, I've been here 31 years. Anyhow, you know me pretty well. Would you rather be around me and have me react in my natural self? Or would you rather be around me and have me react with Jesus Christ in charge? I'll take Jesus Christ in charge of any one of us any day because he always reacts in love. That doesn't mean Jesus was a wimp. He told people exactly the truth. He told them exactly where they were. But he always did it in love for their good. And that's the difference with me. I don't always do it for their good. Sometimes I do it just to put them down. They hurt my feelings, and I'm going to get even. Folks, the Lord wants us. We love to sing the song, Love Lifted Me. Let me just give you a few of the words. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with sin, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. The problem is, for most of us, we don't remember how we came to that love. And you can say, well, it was the Holy Spirit working in you. Yes, it was. But it was a person. If you think back to your salvation, think about the person that was key in bringing you the gospel. There's always somebody. The Bible says nobody can be saved unless there's a preacher. Now, it doesn't mean a pastor. If you're a Christian, you are a preacher for God. Somebody introduced you. I've got an older sister that I love with all my heart because she sicked Pastor Williams after me. And Pastor Williams gave me the gospel very, very clearly. And it's the first time I ever understood it. Folks, you can be that person. You can be that person to love somebody to Christ. It's going to change not just their eternity. It's going to change their life now. I want to give you a little story. There was a college professor, this is 55 years ago. He had a sociology class in college, and they were in Baltimore City, And he sent his students, young students that wanted to be sociologists, out into the community to look at 200 young boys that lived in poverty, and they were asked to write an evaluation of each boy's future. In every case, for those 200 boys in the slums of Baltimore, the word came back, he hasn't got a chance. Their life was so bad that these young sociologist students decided there's no way they're going to have a good life. It's going to be terrible. Well, 25 years later passed, and another sociology professor at the same college ran across that study. And he said, they haven't got a chance, 200 students. I'm going to send my students out to contact those 200 young boys that didn't have a chance and see how they turned out. So he sent them out. Now, 20 of those students had either moved far away or died. That's what happens in 25 years, isn't it? But he learned that 176 of the remaining 180 young boys turned out with great lives. They were doctors, they were lawyers, they were pastors. And so the sociologists themselves decided, how did that happen? When they had terrible home lives, terrible schools to go to, everything was wrong, how could these 176, now if it had been 20 people that turned out good, just, well, that's just normal. But 176 out of 180. So he started to send his students again, how did this happen? And they found out, as they talked to each one of these 176 students, each one with a smile said, there was a teacher. And they didn't say much more than that, but they found out that that teacher was still alive. And so the sociology professor went to talk to the teacher, and he said, how in the world did you help those boys to be so successful in life? And the old lady had a wonderful, beautiful smile on her face. And she said, I love those boys. Now, she wasn't talking about just she was kind to those boys. She loved those boys. Not because they had a great future coming. Not because they were good kids. They were terrible kids. But she saw them and made in the image of God. And she shared the love of Christ with her students. And those young boys picked up on it. And it changed their life. You see, God wants you to be that person that loves others with the love of Christ, because you can be the person to make a difference. My sister was not a great theologian. My sister, although she had received Christ as a little girl, couldn't explain the gospel to me. But she knew that she had something I didn't. And she kept after me, year after year. You ought to go to church. You ought to go to church. Well, sis, I'm going to Delta College, and I get the same exact message at the church that I'm attending that I get there. It's like a psychology class. They didn't teach the Bible. But when you go to a church that teaches the Word of God, it makes a difference. When the Lord lifted you from the dead, He lifted you with the love of Christ, and He wants you to show that love. It's a love that will change lives. The Lord desires to change lives through you. And you can say, well, I'm not a teacher. No, you're not. But you're a mother, you're a father, you're a young man, a young woman. You've got friends that you can touch their lives with the love of Christ. And as you do that, you're going to make a difference. Jesus was asked in Matthew 22 what the greatest commandment was. Matthew 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And that is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Folks, if you love the Lord with all your heart, guess what? You are going to love your neighbor as yourself. You're going to want the same good results for them that you want for yourself. It's so important. If we truly love God, we are going to love people with the love of God. In 1 John 4:7, Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Our Lord wants you to know that he loves you with all of his heart, but he loves everybody else too. And he wants to use you to show that love to others. In 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Let me just ask, is there anybody you just can't stand? You just hate being around that person. Then you're not walking in the love of God. I got to admit, sometimes I fail in this area. I think all of us probably do from time to time. But God wants to fill you so much with the Spirit that you literally show the love of God to those that hate you, that evilly and despitefully use you, you still show that love. So I want to give you an illustration of that. You say, well, the Lord loved that way, that's wonderful, but man can't do that. Yes, men can do that. I want to tell you the story of Huey Homer. 8 times in the Ministry of Education in East Germany, said no to all 8 of Huey Homer's children to be able to go to college in East Berlin. This is back during the time of the Soviet domination of Eastern Europe. It was communist, and they could tell you, you can't go to college. 8 of his children, all of them very smart kids. The Ministry of Education never told them why, just that your children are not allowed to go to college. Huey Homer's father was a Lutheran pastor. And if you live in a communist nation and you are an active Christian, you are going to be discriminated against. And they discriminated against him. For 26 years, the Ministry of Education was led by Margaret Honecker. She was the wife of East Germany's premier, Erich Honecker. When the Berlin Wall cracked, remember President Reagan said, tear down this wall, and they did. Well, shortly after that, the people of East Germany never liked Erich Honecker anyhow, and they told him, you are no longer in charge of this country. In fact, they kicked him out of his mansion, and he had no money, he had no friends, and his communist buddies that he used to reign with wanted nothing at all to do with him. He and his wife had nowhere to live. They were literally on the street. Huey Homer, remembering what they had done to him, not allowing his 8 children to go to college, contacted them and said, you're welcome to live at my house. And they moved in. Now that's an amazing thing. Probably for 15 years, no, your children can't go to college. No, your children, no, no. But this man was a real believer in Christ. And he said, you're welcome to come to our house. Mr. and Mrs. moved in. The former enemies moved in and stayed with them. Now to this day, I don't know if he's still there. This has been a few years ago since the Berlin Wall fell. But although they maybe never became Christians, they did get to the point where the family would pray, they would fold their hands along with the family. Folks, you can make a difference. In Matthew 5, verse 38, you have heard it said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them also the other cheek. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Folks, you have a choice in life. You can be in charge of your life. You can say, I'm only going to love those that love me. I'm only going to help those that help me. You can do that. But the Holy Spirit is not in charge of your life if you live that way. We are called to literally love everybody. It doesn't mean you have to be a doormat, but it does mean that you have to show the love of Christ. It's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's very, very challenging when others are misusing you to show the love of Christ to them. But do you know the Bible says that when we received Christ, before that we were enemies of God? He died for you and I while we were still in our sin. And he wants us to be that same mindset to others. So there are going to be times when it's going to be very, very difficult for you and I. Sometimes you're going to fail, aren't you? I just failed this week. Here I am working on this very message, and I failed. What do you do about that? Well, 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? Cleanse that out of our lives. So the next time we don't fail and fail and fail. You're human. You and I are going to fall short. But don't say, well, I fell short, might as well just give up. Step up to the plate because there's another pitch coming. And you can hit a home run. You can be the difference in a person's life of a lack of faith in Christ and coming to Christ, because they've seen Christ in you. They've experienced his love through you, because you were a channel of God's love. Father, bless us today. Help us to keep growing. Yes, we fall short, but we have a God who forgives and restores. So Lord, help each of us to keep growing in this area. Father, as we go into the communion service now, may you be glorified. Father, help us as we examine our hearts to make sure, Lord, that all's right between us and you. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.